Amen. Good morning. I want to welcome you to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with you today. It was a joy to get the extended cut of Yes, Jesus Loves Me is a great way to start. On this Sunday morning, Children's Sabbath here at Asbury United Methodist Church, and this morning in the outdoor service, we had the joy of having some children lead us in prayer and read the scripture, and it was really just a wonderful time. If you're watching online, we thank you so much for being with us today, and I pray for all of you that this time of worship is a blessing. Brother Hammett is going to continue on with our series from the whirlwind today. It's week two in the book of Job, and it'll be a wonderful message, and I have no doubt that it will bless you in many ways. This morning, we resumed Sunday school indoors for our children, for our confirmation students. It was a blessing to see them inside. We are so thankful that they are back in. We will continue to do that for as long as we are able. And with adult Sunday school classes, we invite you to return, start meeting again anytime in the morning between 8 a.m. and noon. And if that doesn't work for you, come in the afternoon. The youth's here all afternoon, and so the church building is open. You may have noticed when you pulled up outside that there is about half a semi full of pumpkins sitting outside. How do I know it's half a semi full of pumpkins? Because we unloaded half a semi full of pumpkins yesterday. And I want to thank everybody who was here and helped with that. And we are open for business, and we are ready to sell. Those pumpkins go 100% this year to the Asbury Youth Group. And so they have a lot of plans and a lot of missions they want to do. And so any pumpkins you purchase will be a blessing to that program. This afternoon, our children are having a gathering at 3 o'clock. Nicole calls the program Asbury Children Together, and it's wonderful. But they will meet from 3 to 4 out on the South Lawn and have a time of fun and games and learning about Jesus and just how much Jesus loves each one of them. Our ACCDC is currently collecting items for their yard sale. So if you have any items you would like to donate for that, it benefits the child care program here at Asbury. You can drop those off at the church office, and we'll be happy to take care of those for you. As we continue our time of worship, please stand and let's join together in the call to worship. Listen, for the voice of God comes near.
Listen, for God's voice is not intruded.
We come to worship the God who became one of us,
who calls us by name,
who is love incarnate.
Who is.
Let us gather together in joy and hope.
Let us worship the God of love.
Let's join our voices together with the opening prayer. When nothing is right, when we are weary and lost, when clouds dull the sky, help us to be still. When our cries are unheeded, when no effort bears fruit, when the sun sets, help us to be still. When love is over, when hope is gone, when darkness covers the land, help us to be still. For in being still, in refusing to panic or despair, we shall come to know that God is there, suffering alongside and with us, waiting to show us stepping stones through the swirling waters and to help us sing a new song. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, This Little Light of Mine, found on page 585 of your hymnal.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. Join me as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this moment, this opportunity to gather as children in your kingdom. We thank you for this opportunity to worship, to praise, and to glorify your name. We all come in here today in different places and in different spaces with different hurts and different joys. And God, we know that mightily you are at work in all of our lives, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are bringing us where you want us to be. And so we are thankful for all that you do in us and through us to bring the love of Jesus Christ to the community. We have so much to pray for this morning. We pray for those members of our Asbury community who are hurting, who are in need of healing, of your love, and of your grace. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Betty Hill and Fred Williams. We pray for Barbara Clark and June Counts. We pray for Eddie Thorne and Patty Shoemaker. We pray for Lanny Langley and Nate Hill. We pray for Jessica and Jonathan Sears and the twins, Luke and Olivia. We pray for our neighbor, Miss Franklin. We pray for Roger Dinker. We pray for Noah Logan. We pray for all of those whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tip of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of their lives in a mighty way, and we give thanks to you. We pray this morning for our community here in Little Rock. We pray for those who are our friends, and we pray for those we don't know. We pray for our nation, and we pray for the world. We pray for Christians around the globe who are seeking to bring the light of Christ in the darkest places. May you provide a hedge of protection around them as they seek to bring your love to those who need it the most. And God, above all, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the heavy price that was paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the resurrection, for the final victory over sin and death. We thank you for his earthly ministry. We thank you for all he taught us, all he is teaching us, and all he continues to teach us. We thank you for the power of prayer, for the ability to connect and talk with you, to bring our burdens to you. We thank you for knowing how to pray. We thank you for Jesus teaching us how to pray. We thank you for that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which we will now say together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. How beautiful is it each week to see the choir loft just a little more full each week. We are getting there. It sounds so beautiful. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Job, some various parts, right? And in the morning service, we had three of our young children read them. So are we doing this in parts, sir, or do you want me just to go ahead and read the whole thing? Do you want me to play all three? I can do that.
Let's do it this way.
Okay.
Let's do. Let me back up to there. And why don't I play the narrator and Elihu, and you play Job?
Okay.
That'd be all right.
Well, I think we can do that.
That'll break my stuff up. I think.
So you're gonna be the narrator. That's good. That means you get all the really hard words. And I'll
tell you what. You do the you be the narrator, and I'll be Job and Elihu.
There are some words in here we have not done in seminary, but I will read them.
Good luck. Good luck.
There we go. All right. So these are excerpts from Job chapters 2, 3, 23, 32, and 35. When Job's three friends heard about all this disaster that had happened to him, they came, each one from his home. Eliphaz from Teman, Bildad from Shua, and Zophar from Naamah. They agreed to come so they could console and comfort him. When they looked up from a distance and didn't recognize him, they wept loudly. Each one tore his garment and scattered dust above his head toward the sky. They sat with Job on the ground 7 days and seven nights, not speaking a word to him, for they saw that he was in excruciating pain. Afterward, Job spoke up and cursed the day he was born. Job answered,
"Today my complaint is again bitter. My strength is weighed down because of my groaning. Oh, that I could know how to find him, come to his dwelling place. I would lay out my case before him, fill my mouth with arguments, know the words which he would answer, understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me through brute force? No. He would surely listen to me. There, those who do the right thing can argue with him. I could escape from my judge forever. Look, I go east, he's not there. West, and don't discover him. North in his activity, and I don't grasp him. He turns south, but I don't see. God has weakened my mind. The Almighty has frightened me. Still, I'm not annihilated by darkness. He has hidden deep darkness from me."
Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, from the clan of Ram, was angry with Job because he considered himself more righteous than God. He was also angry with his three friends because they hadn't found an answer, but nevertheless thought Job wicked. Elihu had waited while Job spoke, for they were older than he. When Elihu saw that there had been no response in the speeches of the three men, he became very angry. Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, said,
"I'm young and you're old, so I held back, afraid to express my opinion to you. Do you think it's right? You say I'm more just than God. Yet you ask, what does it benefit you? What have I gained by avoiding sin? I'll answer you and your friends along with you. Look at the heavens and see. Scan the clouds high over you. Although you say that you don't see him, the case is before him, so wait anxiously for him. Even though his anger is now held back, a person doesn't know that it's delayed. So Job mouths emptiness. He piles up ignorant words."
It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Elihu is so much fun. Let us pray. God, we thank you for being with us today and for being with us in each and every moment of our lives. We pray now that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and those of us who are gathered online, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock, and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I may have lost my voice. I don't know. I love the film Forrest Gump. How many of you have ever seen Forrest Gump? Do you remember that movie? One of the things that I love about that film so much is the friendship that Lieutenant Dan and Forrest have with one another. Forrest meets Lieutenant Dan. He's his commanding officer in Vietnam. And Dan loses so much in the war. He loses a whole bunch of his men. He loses his legs. He experiences so much pain and heartache. But through Dan's alcoholism, through his anger, which he takes out on God, he takes it out on Forrest, Forrest always sticks with him. And in the end, and I think it's due in large part to Forrest's friendship with him, Lieutenant Dan finds a sense of peace. And so when our friends and family hurt, how can we be a good friend like Forrest was to Dan? Well, Job's friends start out on the right path. Last week we saw that Job lost all of his wealth, his employees were all murdered, then his children all die in a tornado. And finally, he's struck with physical suffering. When his friends heard that their friend was hurting, they went to console him and to offer him comfort. And when they got there, they didn't even recognize him. He looked so much different. They burst into tears. They sit down beside him. They see that he has covered his head in dust and ashes. And so they do the same. And they sit there with him for 7 days and 7 nights, completely silent. They don't know what to say. Have you ever had a friend that went through something like that? I think of my friend Vita Calhoun. Ashley Burks knew Vita, grew up with her in Fordyce. And Vita was just one of the best people I have ever known in my life. She had a big old belly laugh just like me, and we used to love to get together and cut up and make each other laugh louder and louder. When Vita was in her 40s, she lost her husband, and it wasn't easy for her. She had a little girl to raise, but eventually she decided to focus on what was left, on raising her daughter, on her church family. And she started to teach the third grade Sunday school class and did that for decades. When I met her, she was helping to raise her grandbaby, and she just loved him so much. That spring, she lost a whole bunch of weight all of a sudden. Went to the doctor and come to find out she had stomach cancer. And they told her that she only had a few months, maybe a year to live. The cancer robbed her of so much. Near the end, it even robbed her of her laugh. What do you say to someone who's going through something like that? Well, after these 7 days and seven nights, Job finally breaks the silence. And what he says, I wish I had never been born. I feel like I am living a nightmare where every fear that I ever had has come to pass. When they hear this, Job's friends just could not bear it. They felt like they had to respond in some way, and so they do. They spend 28 chapters in the book of Job arguing with him about why he is wrong to say the things he says, feel the things he feels, and think the things he thinks, and that he's wrong to be angry with God. They argue back and forth and back and forth like a literary tennis match over theodicy. Job is hurt and angry, and the argument with his friends only makes that worse. Through the whole thing, he maintains his innocence. He has done nothing to deserve this. But his friends just keep spouting cliches and easy answers. Here are a few of them. Everything happens for a reason. It was just their time. Nobody's perfect. I know just how you feel. You sin, your kids sin, somebody sin. God's teaching you a lesson. Just trust God and God will help you. Don't be angry with God. Shut up. You have no right to complain. Everybody hurts. They're in a better place now. It could be worse. One of them says, get over it. It's all in God's plan. God doesn't let stuff like this happen to good people. Now, in the end, as we heard just a moment ago, Elihu tells Job that he should just shut up, that he is getting far better than he actually deserves. God should be even more angry with him for the sinner that he, for being the sinner that he is. Now, some of those things are kind of true, at least partially true. But these are not the kinds of things that you want to say to somebody who's experiencing something like Job. In our reading next week, we're going to see that God says not, that they should not have said those things. So when someone is feeling what Job is feeling, these easy, trite, even hurtful answers can make things worse instead of making them better. So how can you and I be a good friend when someone we love is hurting like that? I'll tell you that what I'm going to say is, it comes through fire. 5 years ago, my father-in-law, Faye, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He was one of the very best people I have ever known in my life. Certainly did nothing to deserve that. He died 9 weeks later, and in the middle of that, he had a stroke to top it all off. As we were walking that journey with Faye, I ran across something that I found very helpful. There's a woman named Susan Silk. She's a clinical psychologist, and she also is a breast cancer survivor. And during her own crisis, she noticed that the people in her life, some who were close, some who were more distant, treated her like Job's friends treated him. They weren't always helpful. And so with her colleague, a guy named Barry Goldman, Susan laid out a concept called ring theory to help people be good friends to people who are hurting. And so if you imagine a series of concentric circles, in the center ring we have the sufferer or the afflicted person. The prize that you receive for being at the center is that you get to say anything you want to anyone, anywhere, at any time. They may feel however they want to feel. They may think anything that they want to think. They may say whatever they want to say. They may argue whatever they want to argue. That is their prize. In the next ring out, we have the immediate family. This is the spouse, the children, parents, close in-laws, the people who are closest to the person experiencing the trauma. They get to express whatever they want to as well, only not to the center ring. Next out are the close friends, and then you have colleagues. These are co-workers, church friends, Sunday school classmates. These are people that know you personally, and they love you, but they're just not quite as close as family and your closest friends. In the outermost ring, you have what Susan and Barry call onlookers or looky-loos. I call them rubberneckers. And you know what I'm talking about. You see people, if you are coming through traffic and there's been a wreck, and there will be some people who drive by the wreck and their necks turn like rubber to see what has happened. Some of the rubberneckers are good, kind, loving people. They care about what the person at the center who is going through, and they will pray for them, they will bring them food, they will support meal trains, they may care in other ways. But honestly, some of the rubberneckers just get excited about seeing a train wreck. Now here's where I find ring theory particularly helpful. As you proceed through the rings to the center, comfort goes in. Venting or expressing your anxiety goes outward. So in the center person only receives care from those who are in the outer circles. The person at the center can vent to anybody they want. But as you get further and further out, you can only vent, release your anxiety, express your fears, your concerns, your own pain, outward to circles that are more outward than yours. If you aren't in the center and you're with someone who's closer, you have to always ask yourself, is what I'm about to say or is what I'm about to do for me, or is it for the person in the center or the next circle in? Is it about me or is it about them? Another bit of advice, you should always listen more than you talk if you're not at the center. You may say things like, I'm so sorry, or that must be really hard. I love you, I'm praying for you. Can I bring you a meal? You don't want to say any of the things that Job's friends said to him. Don't argue, don't justify, don't explain. You don't have to defend God. As one of my seminary professors once said, God's a big boy, God can handle it, amen? God's heard it before. So, if you want to be a good friend, first you have to know which ring you're in, which circle you're in. It also helps for all of us to know a little bit about grief. The standard model for that, as many of us in the room know, is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Five Stages of Grief. And what she and colleagues said is that when we experience trauma, we go through these stages. We go through denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then finally acceptance. And if you pay close attention to Job's story through that lens, you'll see that he goes through each of those stages himself. And when I learned about those stages when I was a young college student before I had experienced a whole lot of loss, I thought you progressed through them sequentially. And that acceptance was kind of like grief graduation. You were done with that. But my personal experience, and I know some of yours has been different too, has been very different. A friend of mine describes grief as emotional spaghetti. It's messy. Just when you think you've graduated to acceptance, you hear a song, or you see something, or you smell something, or you have a day is just like another day, and it brings all of that crashing back. When I experienced some trauma about 3 or 4 years ago, that grief came like crashing waves, just one after another after another. So to be a good friend, we have to understand that all of that's normal. All of it is normal. It's also important for all of us to recognize that depression is a normal part of grief. Feeling empty, guilty, helpless, hopeless, being irritable, losing interest in things you care about, being tired all the time or restless all the time, feeling fuzzy-headed, having changes in appetite, having body aches, even having suicidal thoughts. Feelings like your life doesn't matter. All of those things are parts of depression, and that is a normal part of grief. If you don't go through that, you may still be in denial. Sometimes we need professional help to get us through to the other side. Counselors, medication can help, and there's no shame in taking advantage of those things. A counselor helped me with my trauma several years ago. I went to a counselor because people who loved me encouraged me to do that. And I'm so glad they encouraged me, and I'm so glad that I went. I encourage you to do the same for your friends as well. At the same time, you have to watch out when those feelings, those depression feelings, stick around for too long, or when they become very intense. Because the signs of depression that I just rattled off are all the same signs that you look for someone who is suicidal. It's just a matter of intensity and duration. So if you suspect that a friend may be in that kind of a dark place, the best thing that you can do is ask two questions and follow up. First thing you say is, have you thought about hurting yourself? If their answer is no, you move on. If their answer is yes, then you ask the second question. The second question is, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? If the answer to that is yes, then you have to do whatever you have to do to get your friend to the hospital so that they can get the care that they need. So, Know your ring. If you're in an outside ring, listen more than you speak. Understand that grief is a normal process that all of us go through. Know the signs of depression and look out if a friend has those for a long time or if they grow in intensity. If they do, ask those two questions and get your friend the help that they need. When you do those things, you'll be a good friend to your friends, just like Job. The day she passed, we were at Vita's daughter's home, and she was unrecognizable. She could no longer laugh. She could no longer speak. She could barely breathe. Three of us gathered around her bed, and we were sitting there in silence. They were both choir members, and they noticed the other two were choir members, and they noticed a hymnal. And one of us grabbed the hymnal and we're flipping through, and we found a song that we knew she loved to sing with her third graders in Sunday school. Would you sing it with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for filling our pain with your presence. We know that even when you feel distant from us, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the north is from the south, you're always even closer than our own breath. God, we pray for our friends. We pray for our family members. We pray for ourselves. And those of us who are hurting, those of us who are in anguish. And we pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit. Empower us to, whether it's through our words or through our actions, or even through our silence, to serve as your presence and a sign of your love and peace in the broken places in our world. God, we thank you for Jesus, because in him you have shown to us that you have taken on our pain in the cross. You know what it is like to hurt. You know what it is like to grieve, because you have experienced those things yourself. Help us to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and help us to bring light to those who find themselves in the midst of darkness. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. If you'd like to join our church family, whether you're joining us online or you're here, you can let me know, let Brother Nick know, and we'd be glad to welcome you into the Asbury family. If there are those within the congregation here in the sanctuary today, if you haven't joined and you'd like to, you may come forward as we sing our closing hymn. And I've flipped up. What is it, Diana? Oh, yeah, I think I should do the affirmation of faith. Let's stand now and affirm our faith through the words that our children have provided for us. And I am there right now. Let's say it together. We believe in God, the loving Father and friend to all, creator of all living things. He is like a big kid, helping people to be nice to each other and encouraging us to do the right things so that we might live with God. We believe in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was put in a tomb, and was risen for us. He is a loving and caring Savior. He has friends called disciples who we can learn from so that we can become disciples also. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, symbolized by a dove. We see the Holy Spirit in surprising ways like Moses and the burning bush, and everyday ways like our friends at church and in our community. Amen. And now let's sing together Jesus Loves Me, number 191. Just a quick reminder about the offering basket out in the narthex for you. Also, I want to say thank you, a big thank you for you. As we were considering about whether or not to bring the children back in for Sunday school classes and allowing children's groups to meet indoors once again, we were very mindful of y'all. And we appreciate you for wearing masks inside and for keeping your distance from people out of your outside your household inside. Thank you so much. It's because y'all did that that we were able and comfortable bringing the kids back inside. Sunday school does happen at 10 a.m. for kids and youth. Adults are still welcome to meet anytime between 8 and noon. Masks are still required at all places in the building anytime we're inside, and we do that for our children. So I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. Next Sunday in our Job series, God finally shows up and sets all of us straight about the way things are. So I encourage you to come. Encourage you to come back for that. I want to say a big thank you to the staff and for everybody, and for the choir and everybody that participated in our service today. Let's show them a sign of our appreciation. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us online. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord, and the people of God said, Amen. Amen.